Is that my glasses down there? See, I have no sight without them. Young Daniel. Young Daniel, see what I said there? We were on the glory of God last week. If you were here, we're still on the glory of God. And I don't know about you, but I have sensed a little trickle of it in some of the pre-midweek meetings. It's like it's kind of overflowed. We sung that this morning. We're not let there be an overflow. We also sung, we need a greater awareness, amen, of who God is. My goodness, do we not need a greater awareness of who God is in this day and age we're living in? I believe we do. We're going to go into part two of this today, and I'll try and rattle through some of this. I was really seeking the face of God this week, really trusting God for something, and I'm going to go a little bit deeper this morning with you, if that's okay. So you need to get your heart open, your thinking caps on, and hear what the Holy Spirit is saying. Don't listen to my voice, listen for the voice of the Spirit, amen. He makes things a lot clearer to you than I will. But anyway, I believe we need to recognize, we sung a word aware there, we need to recognize the glory of God, amen. It's imperative. And I happen to believe this may well be a season where God is once again coming at his church and saying, do you really want my glory? Because that means something. That means something for every single one of us, because the glory of God must be recognized amongst the people of God. We must recognize the presence and glory of God when it is amongst us. Hallelujah. Now, I love it. I love it. I'm going to say this. I'm going to make a bold statement. I love it more than anybody else in here when we worship. Because I just forget about myself and concentrate on him. It doesn't matter if there's dignitaries or important people. You're all important people. It doesn't matter who's in the room. When I get in here, it's me and him. That's it. No one else matters for that period of time that we're going through. So I love it when we come and we worship. I love it when I got a little glimpse and some people are lifting up their hands. Oh, we're going to start challenging you about lifting up hands in church. That's imperative in a church that's spirit-filled, to lift up holy hands to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if they're stuck by your side, we're praying when the glory comes, they get unstuck. And you find yourself into a freedom in Christ Jesus. It was nice to hear some shouts in the church this morning. Hallelujah. We want a dancing generation, a shouting generation, a clapping generation. We want all that stuff to be restored and returned to the church. But here's the thing. When the glory of God shows up, there sometimes has to be a very different response. And I believe it's our job as pastors here to try and educate or teach a bit more the in-depth things of God, the deeper things of God. Because if we get up here, listen, if we get up and we are saying, we worship you. Amen. We worship you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. Come, Holy Spirit. And we actually sang that today. Did you notice that? We sang that today, and then by chance, the glory of God comes in the sanctuary, and we don't even know he's here. I'll tell you a truth, it's happening in churches all over the world. God is desperate to show up. God is desperate to do something new. God is desperate to change, transform, and challenge his people. But sometimes we get so up singing words of songs that we miss the very presence of God in the room. And so we have to educate and teach people what that looks like. There's a responsibility to respond to the glory of God. You'll see that all throughout Scripture. And if we don't recognize when God is in the room with all that worship and with all that praise and all that asking, hey, all that asking that we did, and we don't know how to properly respond when the glory of God comes, then we're actually going to miss our moment of visitation. Are you hearing this? because we might actually treat it as an entertainment moment, not recognizing the absolute vitality and seriousness of what we're doing, is that we are literally at that moment when we say come or ask, we're invoking the presence of God to come amongst us, to come into this room and to show up. We're actually at that very moment, we're inviting the Shekinah glory of God to come amongst us. Wow. And then he shows up, Pastor. And we don't even know he's here. But we've asked him to come. We've said, come Holy Spirit, let us be more aware. And we don't even know he's here to do something. And at that moment in time, he is there to meet every single one of our needs. At that moment, he is there to transform us more and more into the image of his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. He's there at that time to do miracles, and we're not at times even aware that he is here. I believe we're being re-educated by the Holy Spirit, and we have to learn when the glory of God has moved in the room. We have to have that sensitivity of when the Holy Spirit is up to something in the room, or when he has moved in our lives, or when the glory of God has come into a specific situation in our lives. So we're praying, God, regarding this, give us real revelation, give us clarity, give us wisdom, give us discernment regarding all of these things. Hallelujah. We must recognize his glory. We must recognize his presence. And then the next thing here is, don't come here every Sunday expecting me to show up. I'll always be here every Sunday. Come here week by week, meeting by meeting, gathering by gathering, expecting God to show up. It's him we've had to have a meeting with, an encounter with, an experience with, a moment with. I wonder if we asked the church right across the world, do you in 2023, do you really expect the glory of God to show up? Let me ask you at Moss Vale here this Sunday morning, how many of us really expect God's glory to show up? We must get desperate for his presence. And if we don't expect the glory of God to show up, I'm going to be completely respectful in how I say this, what's going to happen is this, we're just going to have another service. We're just going to have another meeting. We want to move from the place of ordinary to extraordinary. We want to move from the place of the natural to the supernatural. We're going to get to the place where the extraordinary becomes ordinary and it becomes the norm, because God is always in the room. Amen. That's the kind of place that I'm looking to get to in my life. In my life, hey, I'm not as young as young Danny there in Row chapter 2, but listen, I'm getting older here, by the way, and my time is running out. So I'm getting more and more desperate for a move of God in my time. Hallelujah. Or am I just going to settle every Sunday for another meeting? A gathering together. We must recognize it. We must expect his glory. Every time we walk through those doors, or a prayer meeting door, or a house group meeting, when believers come together, we should have an expectancy that the glory of God is going to come amongst us. The glory of God is going to show up, and he's going to do something. He's going to do something. I think about Elijah a lot. I love Elijah. I love Elijah. I love him especially on Mount Carmel. I love him there. I preached in this last month, and I'll confess, I have preached in Elijah every single year since I became pastor here. Every single year, and I'm not going to ask for forgiveness. I love it. I love it. I love it. That story on the mountain excites me to the very core of my being. So he's up there.
And he's kind of on his own to a certain degree. And he hasn't prepared the sacrifice. He's got them digging some trenches. He's got them putting some water in, put some wood on it and completely wet it down. Why is he doing all these things? Because he has an expectancy that the glory of God is going to show up for him. The glory of God's going to appear on the mountaintop. So Elijah is there and he's this way. We need to get this way. Hey, I'm expecting the glory of God. I'm expecting the glory of God because I've been praying and God's told me he's going to arrive. He's told me he's going to come. He's told me he's going to reveal himself and he was going to show up and he did. And the prophets of Baal are now nothing and false prophets and God's going to show up. You see, he expected God to manifest. He expected God to appear. He expected the glory of God to come on the mountain. And guess what happened? The glory of God showed up. Should it be any different for us today? You know what the difference is? He prepared himself. He prepared himself for a move of God. He prepared himself for a monumental moment in the things of God. Sometimes we come just rushed in, clothes on, socks on, breakfast down, we'll call it, that kind of thing. We rush in here with all the cares of the world. Sometimes we have to get down here prepared, ready to receive, ready to anticipate, ready to expect something that God is going to do. So he showed up and scripture says he came in fire. Glory. I like the fire also. That's why I like this story. He came in fire. The glory of God manifested in the form of fire and totally consumed the altar and everything on and around it. It showed at that very moment the clarity and the truth of who God is. Church, we must, it's imperative. We must expect the glory of God today. It's important for every one of us. Now, I don't know about this one. Let's move into the New Testament. I don't know how great the expectancy was of the people in the upper room. But I think the expectancy levels were pretty major. I think they were pretty high. Jesus has left the scene, or so you think. They find themselves in the upper room. He told them, go wait. Hate those words. Go wait. Who likes to wait for anything? Not me, Mr. Impatience here. Go wait because I'm going to send you some glory. I'm going to send you some glory. Hallelujah. That's why we sing glory, glory, hallelujah. We're still moving on. He's going to send some glory. That's what he told them. I'm sending you the glory of my presence. And so they didn't move until they received it. They didn't move until they got it. Now, if they had not been expecting anything, I think they might not have waited. They didn't know what was coming. They didn't know who was coming. They didn't really know what to anticipate. But they were faithful and they were obedient and they waited. They didn't know there was going to be the sound of a mighty rushing wind. Hallelujah. They didn't know. They didn't know tongues of fire were going to come and rest upon each one of them. They didn't know that was going to happen. But Jesus says, wait until you get who I'm sending. Wait until he shows up. I mean, who's been waiting for some time for something to happen? Most of us have. But how many of us have been waiting today for something supernatural to happen in the Holy Spirit that's going to completely alter the way you see things, alter the way you do things, and give you more motivation and momentum spiritually than you've ever had in your life. So they're expecting something to happen. Hallelujah. There was great anticipation. There was a great air of expectancy right there in that upper room. And listen, church, we can never, And we should never, we can never predict what God's going to do exactly. But one thing we do know is this, when God shows up, things happen. Things happen all the time. Too many services all around the world are becoming very predictable. Hallelujah. That's because there's no expectancy for God to do absolutely anything when church members or church folks come together. Not at all. But they were expecting something to happen. And when something happened, all of a sudden they could see. They could see God, they could see Jesus, they could see the Holy Spirit, they could see the manifest presence of the power of God. They understood, they recognized and honored the presence of God, and it allowed the presence of God to transform them and change them from the inside out. And perhaps the problem we are having today, still in many of our churches, we are being changed from the outside in. God's not interested in how you look from the outside in, it's from the inside out. It's what pours out of your life that God is totally interested in. And in that moment, scripture says, Peter stood up, and at that time, he is now a changed man completely. The glory of God showed up, and that man, Peter, would never ever be the same again. It says that we are changed and transformed into the very, very same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord who is the Spirit. Hallelujah. Listen to this. When the Spirit of God showed up, hallelujah. Again, I'll say it, Peter was transformed. And he began to speak, and scripture says 3,000 people came to the Lord. Praise God. Why? Because the glory of God transformed him so completely. And that's the thing that we have to recognize. That's what the glory of God does. It literally changes us from the inside out. So for some of us, we might become hardly recognizable. And then, we must desire the glory of God like nothing else. It's like nothing else in life matters. We must desire the glory of God. Again, I want to say to you, do you really want the glory of God? We're not going to settle here, are we? No. I said last week, God is always moving. We want to move where He's moving. We want to go where He's going. We want to follow where He leads us. We want to take us where He wants to take us. That's what's coming from the glory of God. I believe the people in the upper room wanted, desperately wanted something because they felt like at this point in time, they were all alone and Jesus was gone. So they desired Him to come to them in power. They desired Him to show up in demonstration. They desired for Him to come in manifestation. And that is exactly what He did. Church, we must understand that we have to pray for this. We must desire the glory of God. Why? So we're not trying to be a church that controls things, that does things man's way, that does things our way, that does things in our own strength, trying to be fixers of things that only God by His power can fix. We need the glory of God. We need to say, God, I really, really desperately need Your glory to show up. We need to sing, God, send Your Holy Spirit. Now, at one point back in the Old Testament, a guy called Moses, say Moses, he's important. He said these words, listen to these words, God, I'm not leaving from this place until I know that You're going to go with me. Wow. I'll just say that again. God, I am not leaving from this place until I know that You're going with me. In other words, he said, until your glory comes, I'm not moving. And see, that nation out there, all those Israelite people, all those ones, they can whine and they can moan and they can groan and they can complain all day long. But Lord, here's the word, I will not move from this place until your glory comes. Hallelujah. And so he waited for the glory of God to show up and then lead him forward in the things of God. There's something about the glory of God and entertaining the presence of God that you and I, as believers, have to participate in. Okay, listen to this. Back to Elijah on Mount Carmel. He believed, he desired, he expected that the glory of God was going to come. However, look closer at that story. It required an activation. It required a touch point with heaven for all these instances to occur in the life of Elijah. And the touch point is this. Can we go a little bit deeper this morning? The touch point is this. It says he stepped out and began to speak. Oh. Did you hear that? There's a touch point. There's a place of activation for you and I here. He stepped out and began to speak. It says in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, at the time of the evening sacrifice. That's important. At the time of the evening sacrifice, which is the time of worship, which is the time of honoring his presence, which is the time of invoking the presence of God and invoking his glory to come. It says, at the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah stepped forth and began to speak. Amen. Praise God that he did. Listen to this now. When the glory of God, hallelujah, moves into your house. I might live at 28 St. James's Avenue, but this is my house. This is the dwelling place. This is the place I long to be. And that's not disregarding my beautiful wife or my sons or my family. They understand what I'm saying today. I hope you do also. And don't take any of that the wrong way. When the glory of God moves into the house, when the glory of God moves into our lives, listen to this now. We have to give voice to what the Spirit of God is saying. The Pastor Debbie, before I stepped up here, says someone is going to get a specific word from the Lord in the balcony today. So your ears must be attentive to the next little part of this or what else is to come at the breakdown of this today. God always activates everything by the spoken word. Are you hearing this? Everything by the spoken word. It is the word of faith that is revealed to us when the glory of God shows up. You know what happens? God begins to talk. When Moses was confronted with a burning bush, what did that bush do to him? Are you not sure? It spoke. When was the last time a burning bush spoke to you and I? One Sunday morning. I'm going to plant trees along the front here. I'm going to set them in fire. And say, God, speak to us. Then we'll get the fire extinguishers out very quickly. That's kind of what's happening. That's kind of what's happening. Listen to this. We're going deeper. The Spirit of Jesus is a spirit of prophecy. Are you hearing this? The Spirit of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So when the glory of God is here, he is going to begin to speak to every single one of us. Every single one of us. And it might be during a service where one of the pastors or elders are preaching, and it might be you get that unction, that anointing, that understanding that God has all of a sudden showed up in a very different, more powerful way, and he wants to operate. It could be that we call people up for healing. It might be the sense of an altar call. It might be that someone needs to get saved. You will need to speak that out. You need to be God's voice at that time. Can we go a little bit deeper again today? It's a wee bit. So when the glory of God shows up, we have to listen. We have to give voice to what God is speaking at that very time directly into the atmosphere. Because what God is speaking into the atmosphere at that very moment is what God has already willed. We don't have to say, Lord, if it be your will, give this brother a job. Lord, if it be your will, heal this brother. Why? Because his will has already been revealed. You getting this? Hallelujah. How do we know this? How do we understand this to be truth? Because scripture says the Spirit of God searches, hallelujah, the heart of God and the deep things of God. Amen. Wonderful. And he brings them and then he reveals them to you and I. And so the Spirit of God will speak to us when the glory of God comes, and then you and I as believers will give voice to what God is saying. Just like Peter did, an example, just like Peter did on the day of Pentecost, when the glory of God came, they were all sitting there, there was many of them, but nobody really knew what to say. But Peter must have been tuned in. He was listening. He saw something others did not see, and he gave voice. He gave voice to what God was doing and God was saying, and he actually says, well, these people, hallelujah, they are not drunk, as you suppose, seeing it's still early in the morning. Listen to me. Let me tell you, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Wonderful. He began to give voice to what he heard the Holy Spirit say, because he had not went to a class that taught him all about these things. This is that which came from the prophet Joel. That came to Peter directly from the Holy Spirit. And he got up under the inspiration, hallelujah, of the Holy Spirit, glory to God. He heard God and gave voice to what God was doing, praise God. So listen, church, today, there's a need for us to give voice to the glory of God. When the glory of God shows up, and it must happen for you and I. Stay with me this morning. I wanna spiritually almost digress, but go a little bit deeper. Is that okay? Can you handle it? Can you handle it? I'm not sure you can. In Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, it says that in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. See, that's what we've got to work on. See the shouts? Woeful. In his presence, there was fullness of joy. At his right hand, there are pleasures for a wee while. Forevermore. It says in Psalm 22 verse 3, God inhabits or indwells the praises of his people. Amen. Now listen to this today. There are a number of different Hebrew words for the word praise. Praise. But in our Bible, all of them are praise. So that's not too deep, is it? That's not deep. Throughout the Psalms, praise the Lord, praise him in the sanctuary, praise him with the quiet cymbals. There's nothing quiet about the glory of God, let me tell you. Let me tell you. Praise him on the loud cymbals. And so the word is always just translated as praise. But, then there is different acts of praise that we have not completely engaged because we are too dignified. Hallelujah. There's the halal praise. Okay, the halal praise. Now the halal praise, that's pretty much the dance I love to do. Which everyone looks the other way to thinking, what on earth is he doing? Halal praise is exuberant praise. That's when you don't give a jot about anybody else in the room. You're in there, it's you and God, and nothing else absolutely matters. These are the place that I've been praying that God would restore to us. Hallelujah. A dancing generation. A dancing church. Ladies, stop wearing your high heels or flip them off when the worship gets going. Hallelujah. Then there's the Shabbat praise. That almost takes me to Shakara Basoto Robo Kiriandai in the Holy Spirit. It almost takes me down that road. Which is loud proclamations and again, shouts of glory unto the Lord. Amen. Then there's a word even for clapping hands and that word is yada. That's yada. And then there's the word barak, which means to kneel or lay prostrate. That word is also again translated praise or sometimes as worship, but I'm getting to a point here. In this particular passage, when it says that God inhabits the praises of his people, the word is tehillah, not tequila. Saw some of your eyes light up there. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. The word is tehillah. And we're already working in a weaving flow with our sermons to a certain degree. Kind of working through into the autumn. We're going to begin to do some sermons and some teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. And already right now, here we are in April, May. And we're kind of laying different kinds of foundations for these kind of things that are going on. So tehillah praise, that is prophetic praise. That's exactly what that is. It's when you actually give voice prophetically to what God is speaking into the atmosphere that surrounds you. And so when he says, I inhabit the praises of my people, he's saying, all of my glory diffuses and comes, and at that moment begins to work directly in and through your life. When you begin to give voice prophetically to what I am speaking, when my presence is manifest among you, that's tehillah praise. Something we're tapping into. So listen to this today. If we don't ever learn how to enter into tehillah praise, which is the prophetic voice of God, that which gives glory to God surrounds us at that very time, we're not very, very regularly going to have God inhabiting the praises of his people. And the sad part is, we will not be fully receiving the fullness of all that God has for us. Everything he has for us. So here's the lesson. We have to exercise and discipline ourselves in learning these things. How to listen so that we are able to give tehillah praise, which is the kind of praise that gives voice to what God is doing, what God is saying in that moment, so we can see his glory manifest in our life. Stand with me this morning, if you will. If you can't, it's fine. Just open your heart to God.
as we close this down, we're going to just worship God and allow for where you are to respond to God. If something's been said to you, if you close your eyes and just open your ears, don't look at me. This is what I feel, hallelujah, that God is saying. I believe God is saying to us that this is a moment. And I believe God's saying this is a season. And what I believe God is saying to you and to myself is I really need my church to be more sensitive to my spirit. He's almost wanting to challenge us to desire his glory in a new way. Wanting us to recognize his glory when he comes amongst us. And he wants us to speak when he speaks through us. And as we do that, and as we yield to that, and as we surrender to that, the Lord would say he'll release his power to begin to move in miraculous ways that will bring about his absolute perfect will in this room, this house. And God is saying to us today, my will is always to bless, always. My will is always to do good things for you. My will is always to save. My will is always to deliver. My will is always to protect my people. My will is always to provide for my people. My will is always to get you to your expected end and to fulfill the destiny that I have planned for you. That destiny, he would say, that I wrote before the foundation of the world. So the Holy Spirit would say to the church today, let us be men and women of God. And let us be a church that desires the glory of God like never, ever before. And should this be a new season, should this be a new season on the whole earth that God is bringing, that God is pouring out his Holy Spirit, bringing fresh clarity and fresh revelation, let us make sure that we don't miss that moment. That way back in Easter Sunday, Pastor Debbie spoke on the Emmaus Road. The key was their eyes were opened. The problem is so many eyes are closed. And some struggle with short-sightedness. So they can't see the clearer picture. So we need the glory of God to give us absolute clarity as to what he is doing. So let us worship with this next